Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll talk to the State of Minnesota Department Commander of the VFW and spend some time with the Senior Enlisted Advisor for the Minnesota National Guard. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Happy birthday to the National Guard. The National Guard traces its origins to the militias of the 13 original English colonies in North America. The oldest units were organized on December 13, 1636, in the Massachusetts Bay Colony. The Founding Fathers recognized the importance of the militia by writing it into the U.S. Constitution. They divided power over the militia between the individual states and the federal government. This dual state-federal organization still characterizes the National Guard today. Throughout our history, the Guard has often been an invisible force among you and the community. We could be sitting in the office next to you, or the mechanic fixing your car. Maybe we are the farmer in a distant field, or a police officer directing traffic. Yet make no mistake, when a domestic crisis hits, or the call to arms is declared, the National Guard transforms, emerging from the general population to serve as citizen soldiers and airmen. On behalf of the nearly 14,000 men and women of your Minnesota National Guard, it's an honor to serve our state and nation.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. It's our pleasure today to have a guest in the studio who is usually relegated to about 4 or 5 minutes at the end of a show about once a month. He's the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Sergeant Major, welcome back to the show.
Tom, it's great to be here. Thanks so much, and thanks for giving me more than my normal 4 minutes.
Well, Sergeant Major, we're going to have the whole first segment and the second segment, so I hope you've got a lot to tell us about today.
Well, you know me. You've gotten to know me pretty well over the last couple of years, and I've never been shy to speak, so I think we'll be able to fill the content.
Sergeant Major, for our listeners all over Minnesota, I think we better start with the Command Sergeant Major, the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Boss. What is that job, and how did you get it?
Well, I'll start with telling you how I got it. And it's taken a long time of obviously planning, being in the right positions at the right time, doing the right things, and getting to know the right people. So I've been working to get the job I'm in right now for about 17 years, where I first said to somebody, hey, you know what? I want to be the State Command Sergeant Major, which the title now is Senior Enlisted Advisor.
And you've been in the military for 29 years?
29 years this month.
So it takes almost 30 years to get to be the top sergeant in the state.
For me, it did.
All right.
But, you know, it's making sure that you hit the right gates, you get the right assignments, and you broaden your career so you have a better understanding of what goes on within our organization. And, of course, again, building those networks so people know who you are, they know what you're capable of. And so it's been a matter of doing that and then being successful along the way.
Well, congratulations on achieving that. Now, what does the Command Sergeant Major do besides travel all over the place?
Well, what I do is make sure I'm available, one, first and foremost, for the Adjutant General, because I do work directly for him. And I am his eyes and his ears across our formation, both within the Army and the Air National Guard. And my responsibility, of course, is to maintain and assist the readiness capabilities of the Minnesota National Guard to ensure that I understand how to take care of our soldiers and airmen, talk to him about issues, concerns that might be affecting the health, the welfare, the morale of our formation so that we can get after those topics and make sure that we always maintain that readiness and the capabilities that we bring to not only the state but also the nation.
Well, Sergeant Major, I have to ask you this. I was in the Air Force and actually was with the part of the 133rd Air National Guard. And the Army and the Air Force operate a little bit differently because as my observation the last 6 years on this show is most of the Army commanders work hand-in-hand with a Sergeant Major. And they make the decisions and they implement the decisions as a team. That isn't quite the way it's done on the air side, but on the Army side, that's a pretty important team, isn't it?
It absolutely is an important team, and quite honestly, I mentioned the role of the Sergeant Major, but our senior enlisted in that command team relationship, They are advisors to the commanders because, quite honestly, our enlisted force, and in the position I'm in, generally we have more time in and more experience than some of the commanders that we're serving with. And so we've been there, we've seen it, we've done it. And so we always want to be that advisor to a commander. So they're making a better educated decision. And then, of course, once that decision is made, our responsibility as the senior enlisted guys to go out and make sure it gets executed.
Get it done.
Get it done. That's what we do.
And Sergeant Major, I understand on the Air National Guard side, we have a new top sergeant over there.
Yeah, we sure do. So, you know, we had the opportunity back at the State Fair, the great get-together, to meet and spend some time with Chief Gary Luke. And after 30 years of service, he's decided to retire. So this past weekend, we had the opportunity to bring in the new Air National Guard for Minnesota, the new command chief, and that's Paul Kessler, who comes to us from the 133rd. He was the wing chief over there.
So when that spot comes open, do you take a look at all of the senior NCOs, and do they actually apply for that, or do you go through some kind of a process to choose?
Yeah, we posted the position and had the opportunity for all of the senior command chiefs or senior NCOs in the Air Guard to apply for it. And we had an interview board. We held it up in Duluth, and we had five fantastic candidates, and we narrowed it down to Chief Kessler.
Now, did they fill that spot for a term? I understand yours was like 3 years or so.
That's right. Typically, it's a three-year assignment, but it can be extended. It's just all based on the needs of the organization.
So does he move over to the headquarters in St. Paul then, or does he stay at the 133rd? Or?
Yep. So his traditional job, because the command chief for the Air Guard is not a full-time position, but on the traditional side, he will work at the Veterans Service Building within the Joint Force Headquarters.
Okay. So you've got another partner over there to help on the air side.
Yes, I do.
How do those Air National Guard troops react when you come over, Sergeant Major?
You know what? It's been great. They've had open arms that have received me very, very well. I've been very appreciative, and because I like to be in front of people talking, if you can't figure that out. And I can bring a different perspective to them, and they enjoy hearing an Army's perspective. And then, of course, with my 29 years of experience, you know what I bring to the table, my leadership philosophy. And so it's been really, really nice.
And you travel around a lot with those guys anyway, so they're used to seeing you, aren't they?
Absolutely. I just came from Duluth here this past weekend and was up there for the 148th Award Ceremony. And I try to be as involved with the Air Guard as I am with the Army side.
Sergeant Major, I understand there's what's new with Real ID, and how does that affect getting on military bases?
Yeah, so the Real ID, if people in the listening audience aren't are tracking, is as a part of the 9/11 Commission. The commission recommended that there were some standards to be put in place as it relates to identification for people. And so Real ID was, the act was passed by Congress in 2005. And what the audience needs to understand is you have to have, at Department of Defense installations, you have to have an ID that meets the Real ID standard. And for anybody that's currently serving the military or has a retiree ID card, they're good to go because that's a issued ID from the federal government. Some of our citizens in Minnesota who just have the Minnesota State driver's license that doesn't currently meet Real ID, if they want to get on one of the federal installations, in particular here in Minnesota, the Air Wings at either Duluth or St. Paul, then they're going to have to come with not only that Minnesota driver's license, but they're going to have a federal-issued identification, and a passport would be the most common one to use.
So, Sergeant Major, is this part of that confusion we had at the state legislature where we were supposed to upgrade our driver's licenses by federal mandate of some kind, and we failed to do it, and now we're trying to catch up? Is that gonna repair itself once we get new driver's license?
That's exactly correct. And as people renew now, my understanding is you can upgrade now as you go in and start getting your new driver's license. Or I think you could even go in early and pay. I think it's like $15. I don't know that for sure. But you can go in and get that updated to have the Real ID and be compliant with the Real ID Act.
So until that time, if you have to visit a base such as the 133rd or St. Paul or the 148th in Duluth, bring your passport with.
Bring your passport. Or, of course, like I said, if you already have a federal-issued ID, like a military ID, a CAC card, what we would call it, or a retiree ID card, you'd be fine.
Sergeant Major, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we've got a few more questions, and we're going to learn a lot more good things from the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been talking to the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Sergeant Major, it's always good to have you back in the show, and we've had a long time to talk today. Once again, being the Command Sergeant Major, that means you're the top sergeant on the Army side, actually for the Army and Air National Guard, because you're the top enlisted advisor to the boss.
That's correct. Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, which, as you said, includes the Army and the Air Force.
And, of course, we didn't touch on this in the first segment, but as opposed to the Reserve, the Guard in Minnesota and the Guard across the country has a dual mission, the state mission and the federal mission.
Yeah, we sure do. And that's an important thing for our citizens to understand is, when that local emergency happens, the natural disaster, whatever it is, it's the National Guard that gets called to come in and support where needed in order to help in whatever that situation is. And, of course, we are always available when our nation needs us as well.
Now, Sergeant Major, we've got a certain number of soldiers and airmen that retire and turn over every year, so you've always got to keep filling in at the bottom and keep training them and promoting them and working them on up. But on the Army side, as the soldiers sign up, how do they work their way up? How do they get promoted?
Yeah, so the first three promotions are actually advancements. So generally everybody coming in when they enlist as a private E1. And as long as you come in, you do your job, and you maintain the standards you're supposed to meet, you will automatically be advanced in rank up to the grade of E4. And once you hit that rank, now you have to start competing to get promoted. And you have to have a recommendation by your leadership to put in a packet to be considered for promotion. And then, of course, you have to meet the military standards that have been set forth by Army regulation. Simple things like PT test, physical training test, the height and weight standards, military occupational skill. You have to be qualified in your job.
Go to certain classes, get those things done.
Exactly right. And then you're allowed to put in a promotion packet, and a board meets once a year to go through all of the packets, and really it's a ranking of 1 through N within each career management field, each MOS, as we call them, the military occupational skill or specialty. And as people get promoted, move up, or retire, and a vacancy is created, we go right to that list. And if you're number one, you're selected for promotion as long as you've maintained meeting all those standards that we've already discussed.
So your soldiers really have the control in their own hands. If they do what's necessary to be qualified and excel, then they're in waiting for the next rank.
They sure do. So those that take the initiative to do better on their physical training test, to get to the schools they're supposed to get to, whether it's a leadership school or a training type of a school for their job, all those items give them points. And the boards consider all of that information, and then that's how they go through and rank it. And, of course, evaluations play a large part in. So the more competent you are, the more capable you are, the higher evaluations and ratings you get, which means you get higher on a list.
And once you get to the NCO ranks, then you are also eligible to become a warrant officer as well.
You sure are. And certain warrant officer positions require a certain amount of time rated as an NCO or a non-commissioned officer. So we are always looking for non-commissioned officers, our NCOs, to transfer over to the warrant officer program because those are where our technical experts reside.
And Sergeant Major, for our listeners, if they want to learn more about that, they can just go to Minnesota Military Radio and put in how to get promoted, and they'll see that we've had several shows where we've had some of your experts over talking about that whole process. Sergeant Major, it's December, and we're coming up on a new year, 2017, and more years than not, you have a program called the Norwegian Exchange, and it's usually a summertime exchange, but I understand it's going to be a winter program this year.
Yeah, it is. This February, this coming February of 17, we're going to do our 44th exchange with Norway, and so we'll send about 100 of our soldiers and or airmen from Minnesota, from the Minnesota Guard over to Norway, and then we'll bring about 100 of the soldiers of the Home Guard from Norway over to Camp Ripley here in Minnesota, and they'll train with our soldiers here and our airmen here, and then, of course, the contingency we send to Norway will train with their military.
So Norway is one of your European state partners for the Minnesota National Guard.
We have a bilateral agreement with Norway. We've been doing it for 40 years. It started on a handshake, and it's the longest running exchange. And yeah, it's just been a great, great opportunity for our soldiers and our airmen to experience some of the culture and different types of training or environment within obviously another country.
And Sergeant Major, once again, for our listeners, if they go back a couple of years ago when you had the Norway exchange going on, we filled this studio one afternoon with Home Guard from Norway, and we had a pretty good time when they were here.
I bet you did. And, you know, they're just great people to be around. You know, you always glean some new information. It's just great to see, hear, and understand, witness how members of other militaries in different countries work, how they work together within their own command teams. It's just great experience all around.
So if you go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and put the Norway Exchange up in the search device, you can probably get to that show. And those gentlemen were fascinating to talk to. We're speaking today with the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, on Minnesota Military Radio. Sergeant Major, we got to get moving along here. I understand this year you have a Best Warrior competition that's coming. It's going to be a big one for Minnesota.
Right. So each year we do a Best Warrior competition on the Army side, and on the Air side we do an Outstanding Airman of the Year competition as well. But what's unique this year for the Army side is that we have been selected to host the national competition. So the Minnesota Guard, internally, we will have a state competition. We'll select a state winner. The state winner will move on and compete at a region-level competition. And then once the region selects the winner, there's seven regions in the country that consist of all 54 states and territories. All of those winners will then come to Minnesota next summer and compete to be named the Army National Guard's Best Warrior, and the competition consists of soldiers out of the non-commissioned officer ranks and the lower enlisted ranks. And again, we get to host that right here in Minnesota up at Camp Ripley, which, you know, it's a great opportunity for us to showcase Camp Ripley, the state of Minnesota, the capabilities that Camp Ripley has, and as you've said on this show many times, really the jewel of the North.
Well, we've had Colonel Scott St. Sauveur on the show quite a few times, and he's the commander up there, and he's pretty proud of that facility, 53,000 acres, and been a lot of improvements over the years, and one of the best training facilities in the country, as I understand it.
It has grown and developed so much since I first joined 29 years ago, and, you know, Camp Ripley is just a great, great resource for Minnesota and, of course, our local state partners that come up and use the facilities as well.
And while our listeners are driving by Camp Ripley, if you're up there during the day, stop in at the front gate and ask them if you can go visit the Minnesota Military Museum, because they've got a lot of great stuff over there and a lot of great equipment. It's a must-see, I think.
It is, and you know, they're going through and they're cataloging more and more stuff to put on display. So it changes. Every time I go in there, there's something new to see. So what a great resource that is as well for the citizens of Minnesota or other visitors just to come in and see some of the history about the Minnesota National Guard and our military.
Yep, they keep adding to that every time. There's a great Vietnam veteran exhibit up there, and I think they just recently opened up another one, and there's something new every time you go up there. You could spend hours just roaming around reading the stories of our fellow soldiers and airmen from Minnesota who have served in the military all over the world. And, of course, we just had the 75th anniversary of Pearl Harbor, and there's a lot of stuff up there on that as well.
Yes, there sure is. Great displays on all of the major events that have happened throughout our military's history.
Sergeant Major, I don't know where the time goes, but we've only got about a minute and a half left, and I have to ask you, you know, we have this turnover in the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard. You're looking for new recruits all the time. You've been in the military for almost three decades now. You look pretty good for the wear and tear, Sergeant Major.
Well, thank you.
What would you say to our young people listening to the show today if they were thinking about a career in the Minnesota Army or Air National Guard?
Well, the first thing I would say is don't be afraid to check it out. because there's no harm in getting additional information so that you can make an educated decision about what your future is going to bring for you. And the military has been a great decision for me. The Army National Guard has been a great move for me, career-wise, personally, and all that. There's a lot of benefits that come along with it, and I would just say, think about it. Think about becoming a part of something bigger than you and how it is that you might be able to give back to this great country that we live in.
And if you get a chance to go up to Ripley, you can think about helicopters and C-130s and tanks and armored personnel carriers. And, you know, if any of that appeals to you, there's some first-class folks, men and women, in the Minnesota National Guard, aren't there?
Yeah, there sure are. There absolutely are. Great organization that we belong to.
Sergeant Major, we're just about out of time. I hope you and the Adjutant General have a great holiday and look forward to having you back on the show sometime soon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And Tom, I just want to say to you and all of the listening audience, you know, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and then happy birthday to the National Guard, 380 years. Wow, the oldest branch of the military, and we're going strong.
I remember them all.
I bet you do. No, you don't.
Thanks for joining us today, Sergeant Major.
Yep, have a great day. Thank you for having me.
That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General, Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet with the Minnesota State Commander of the VFW. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
Over the past years, I've witnessed many unselfish acts of service and dedication by Minnesota veterans. There are many veterans in Minnesota who say, "I'm okay, take care of my buddies first." We instinctively, as veterans, watch out for our fellow comrades. But now I encourage you to take it a step further and watch out for yourself as well. I ask each of you to review your own personal situation and take the time to visit with your county veteran service officer to find out what benefits you and your family may be eligible for. To learn more about the benefits you're entitled to, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleteau. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the State Commander of the Veterans of Foreign Wars for Minnesota, Joe Mauricio. Joe, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much. It's an honor.
Joe, the Commissioner had a pretty good message there. I know I've heard a lot of veterans say, take care of my buddies first, and that's a pretty common thing. I'm sure you've heard that too, but we also have to take care of ourselves, don't we?
Well, that's true.
Now, you served, I understand you served in the United States Army.
Yes, I did.
Can you tell us about your career in the Army?
Well, I went in the Army in 1965. I was drafted, then I enlisted for 4 years with three of my friends. In that time, I went to Germany for 10 months. From there, I transferred to Vietnam, 1966 to 67. I spent 14 months there. When I came back, I was stationed in Fort Bragg for a year and a half and just kind of did nothing. There was in the company where every MOS was in that company. They had no jobs, nothing to do.
So, Joe, you're a Vietnam veteran. What'd you do in Vietnam? What was your job over there?
In Vietnam, I was an ammunition specialist. They would, some people don't know, it's loading, help load ammunition to be delivered to our to support our military units in the northern part of Vietnam. Up around the Pleiku area. So I had a group of, my own little squad to load and unload, and we had to go on convoys and stuff like that to deliver it, but it was both worth it. It was fun. Not fun, but it was something you're not going to forget.
Yeah, and you made sure the combat troops were ready to go.
Oh, yes, they had to have what they needed as soon as possible.
So did you have a pretty safe tour then?
No, not really.
But you made it through it.
I made it through it, yeah.
Now, Joe, I understand you belong to a number of different veteran service organizations. Can you tell us which ones?
Well, besides VFW, I just joined the Legion, and I belong to the DAV, and I belong to the AMVETS, and I belong to the COOTIES, which is associated with the VFW.
And you're a member of the Vietnam Veterans of America?
Not yet, but I just got some papers to fill out to join them.
All right. Well, I know a guy named Terry Palmer that's probably going to put an arm on you pretty quick.
He did that yesterday.
All right. And he, of course, is the commander of the Vietnam Veterans of America. And good to have another member in there, Joe.
Yes, it is.
Tell me about the VFW. When did you join, and how did you get to be department commander, the top commander in the state of Minnesota for the VFW?
Well, let's see. I joined the VFW in 2004 or 2005. So it hasn't been that long. And the only reason it took me that long is because when I first tried to join in 1969, they didn't want me. They said, we'll take your membership, but we don't want you to come to our meetings.
My goodness, who said that?
The post commander and some of the veterans there.
Were you a naughty boy, Joe?
No, they just considered that Vietnam was not a war. It was a conflict, military action.
Oh, my.
And they gave me that sad little excuse that we killed women and children. I looked at him and said, and just what war were you in? You didn't kill women and children.
Joe, I had just the opposite. I walked into a VFW over in Hopkins in about 1973, and the old World War II guys there welcomed me in, signed me up as a life member, and I left that night, and I was running the annual picnic. So they were looking for Vietnam veterans. By the way, they sent me home in a cab, so you know what they did to me.
Oh, yeah.
So I had a little different experience, but you haven't been in the VFW that long, and yet you've gone through all the state chairs.
Yes, I have.
So that means when you got to that department, you were department judge advocate, junior vice commander, senior vice commander, and at the 2016 state convention, they railroaded you and elected you as state commander.
Yeah, yes, they did. It was a long time coming, but I did what I achieved, do my goal. When I first joined, my post commander talked me into joining. He wouldn't leave me alone unless I joined. So I finally joined. And I told him, if I'm going to be in the VFW as a number, I'm leaving. If I can't get involved, I'm out. Because too many people, they just want you as a number to keep their numbers up, and then they don't want you to say nothing. Well, I look at it this way. If I join the VFW, it belongs to everybody, not just individuals.
Joe, I understand in Minnesota we have 221 VFW posts, is that right?
That's right.
And only about half of them have a post home.
Yes, they do. I see we have 106 post homes out of the 221 VFWs. We lost quite a few of them over the years. World War II and World War, and the Korean veterans passing away. And they normally had their own posts, but then when they started slimming down, they just turned in their charter. Or they would merge with another post.
So we have a declining number of war veterans for VFW.
Right. And as they say, we're the oldest of the generation now because there's not too many World War II or Korean veterans around. And I look at it, well, then it's time for us to get up and start getting these younger generations into the VFW. I told them, this is going to be yours. And if you're not in the VFW or any organization to help to maintain your benefits, you're going to lose them because numbers count.
We're speaking to Joe Mauricio, the VFW state commander for Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Joe, as you've just started your year and you're into it pretty deep already, it's December. What were your goals for your position as commander for this year?
Well, my goal was to, and there was a few of them, to help the veterans to get all the benefits coming to them and to advise them who they should or see to get these benefits. A lot of them not aware of what they can and can't get. And then also would like to see all the homeless veterans find a place to live, be taken care of. Anybody that can take them in, you know, please take them in because they need help. They have with they're still kind of confused in what it's like back here compared to being in the service.
So some of our listeners may not know, but the VFW runs a state claims office out in the federal building by the airport, the Wiffle Building, and you have some advocates out there that will help our veterans file their claims and help them see if they can't get those through if they had some kind of medical injury when they were in the military.
That's true. The main person out there to get a hold of his name is John Gorn.
He does a pretty good job, doesn't he?
He does a real good job. He's a young fellow that came from South Dakota, and he came over here, and he's doing a real good job.
So for all our veterans around the state, one thing you could do is if you've got some kind of claim, go see your county veteran service officer. They'll help you file a claim. But then when you come down to Minneapolis, go over to the VFW State Claims Office, and they'll help advocate for your claim and help you with the paperwork and help you prove it up. And hopefully we take good care of our veterans that way.
That's true.
Big part of what the VFW does.
That's right. We have to look out for our own.
Well, Joe, we just got about a minute left here, but I understand the VFW Ladies Auxiliary recently changed their name.
Yes, it's been changed to the auxiliary. And that is the men and the women will belong together as one auxiliary. So the men's auxiliary will be abolished at the first of the year.
So you've actually just combined the men's auxiliary and the women's auxiliary into one auxiliary.
To one auxiliary, yes.
And they're both welcome to participate and take care of a lot of good activities.
Yeah, I'm hoping that this works out. You know, they can get together and do things right. All they have to do is work together, and I think things will be done.
All right, well, we hope that works. Joe, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk more with our Minnesota State Commander for the VFW, Joe Mauricio, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to the VFW State Commander, Joe Mauricio. And, Joe, we were talking about the fact you're a Vietnam veteran, United States Army. You belong to a number of veteran service organizations, but you took on the big job of being the VFW commander for this year. And are you already burning up a car?
Oh, I sure am.
Traveling all over the state.
I've been going all over. Matter of fact, just this morning, I came down from Hoyt Lakes. I was up at Hoyt Lakes for a benefit for 75 years at Pearl Harbor.
Over the course of the year, how many of those 221 VFW posts do you think you're going to go visit?
I couldn't tell you.
It's going to be a big number, isn't it?
Well, you try to make what you can make. If not, you meet them at district meetings.
Yep. Just don't wear yourself out, Joe.
No.
It's a long year, and you got a lot of stuff to do. And we want to talk a little bit. I understand the VFW is focused this year on mental health. What kind of efforts are planned to address this topic?
Well, mental health is a project done for our national commander-in-chief. And he's asking everyone to get involved, to get the district involved, which we are doing, in individual posts to help the awareness of mental health to the veterans that had been back or are coming back. Sometimes they don't think they have that mental health problem. But if you've been overseas, everyone has it.
So you're trying to make sure that all our veterans know that there's help available and where to find it.
That's true. It's something that they need to be aware of. And to go see a claims officer or go down to the VA hospital or the nearest one and talk to them. You know, say, I need some help.
The doctors at the VA tell us they know how to help you. So don't be afraid to ask for help. Get some help. Put those problems behind you and move on with your life.
That's true.
Joe, every year the VFW commander has what's called a commander's project. What's your project for this year?
My project is Wounded Veterans of Minnesota. It's a hockey association that they got together to help all the veterans get out and skate. If you can or can't skate. I've been to a few games, and it's kind of fun watching everyone. It's just to get aware and to communicate with other veterans from other areas.
So it's to help the wounded veterans get together with other guys with similar issues and go out on the ice and have some fun.
That's true. And that's what they do. Matter of fact, our national commander was here last year and played.
So for all our listeners out there, if you want to help, the VFW State Commander, Joe Mauricio, needs some help to raise some money for our wounded vets and that wounded vets program. Now, Joe, you're also, as the department or state commander of VFW, you also sit on a board called the Commander's Task Force, which is made up of the commanders from the 9 federally certified veteran service organizations around. How's that going?
Well, that's going pretty good. We're coming up with some pretty good ideas, things we want to address to help out the veterans. And so far, everyone's getting along great. And there's no argument, no nothing, no disagreeing.
And one of the things you do is you get together and you talk about upcoming legislation at the Capitol and right. the things that you'd like to process or push for this year.
Right.
And then you all go up there and represent your combined memberships, and we have a thing called Vets Day on the Hill.
That's true.
And try to bring all of our veterans together, talk to the state legislatures, and keep the promise, take care of our veterans the way we've promised we should.
We hope they keep their promise.
Joe, you're going to be on the show with us next week. We're going to have our annual Commander's Task Force Christmas show. Mm-hmm. And for our listeners that haven't seen you, you've got white hair and a white beard. And I think you're probably going to wear a red shirt next week, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
A little part-time job for you this time of year.
Yes, it is.
Well, Joe, we appreciate you having you on the show today, and look forward to talking to you next week with several other of those commanders from the Commander's Task Force. And we'll talk about all the things that the VFW is doing around the state in support of the holiday and all of our veterans.
Well, thank you very much for asking me. It's an honor for me to be here and to talk, and I hope that the veterans take notice of what we're trying to do for them.
Sure they will, Joe, and we look forward to talking to you next week. That was Joe Mauricio, VFW State Commander on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System is Director Patrick Kelly. Director Kelly, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, how are you? And thank you for having me, and happy holidays.
Same to you, sir. I don't know, it seemed like it was just Thanksgiving, and now we've just got a couple of weeks left of the year. I don't know where the time goes, sir.
It's starting to feel like winter, so the time has gone fast, yeah.
Director, there's been some things in the news lately about good VA centers and some that are still having some trouble, but I noticed that Minnesota's high on the list of doing very, very well, and I understand that you've got a new effort coming up called Same Day Service for Veterans.
Yeah. So a couple things, Tom. You know, one, the rating thing that was in the USA Today newspaper on the 8th of December, you know, is something that we have monitored for many, many years in the VA, and it has not been a publicly facing rating, but it's an opportunity for us to kind of look at those areas where, you know, we are not doing as well as our peers and to make some improvements in those areas. So we in Minneapolis, again, and in St. Cloud, we've been five-star facilities. Those are the top 10% of the facilities for quite some time now. But but we still have some areas in there where we need to do better and we need to improve. And so we're always addressing those. But we're on balance, given the whole sort of basket of measures, we're doing pretty well. You know, one of the things we have done, and again, sort of to address one of those areas where we're trying to improve is to provide same-day services for veterans who have a more urgent need. And so, you know, what I think your listening audience hopefully will understand is that, you know, we don't do same-day services for what I would think of as routine type care, maybe audiology or eye exams, that kind of thing. But what we will do and we've sort of renewed our commitment is that for those services where a veteran has a more urgent need to include, particularly in the areas of mental health or primary care, we will get that veteran evaluated same day and make sure that they get what they need. And sometimes it'll mean we'll just get them scheduled appropriately if it's not something that has to be seen today. But our commitment is to make sure that those veterans who need to be seen urgently or have a same day need will get that need taken care of. And that's a part of the Secretary's MyVA Access Initiative, and we're just starting that in the month of December.
Director, that sounds great, and I understand that you've got some new options to help our veterans with hearing problems.
We just started a brand new program for cochlear implants. Now, these are for veterans, Tom, who don't benefit sufficiently from hearing aids, traditional hearing aids. They have hearing loss that, you know, just isn't good enough through the use of traditional hearing aids, and so our cochlear implant program is a program whereby our surgeons implant hearing support device internally in the veteran, and then there's also an external component similar to a hearing aid, and then they meet periodically with our audiology staff in order to adjust the device, make sure it's effective. But it's a program that we previously sent veterans either to Iowa City or as far away as Seattle. to get the service done, because it's not done at all VAs. But we started, just had our first one this month. It was a veteran from Rush City, and the procedure went very well. And like I say, this will prevent our veterans from having to get on the road and travel. So it's a good enhancement. Not too many veterans need this service, but it's a good service for those veterans who do need it.
Great new capability, sir.
Yeah.
Director, I haven't asked you for a while, but how are you doing with recruiting doctors and nurses, and are you still looking for nurses?
You know, we're always looking for nurses. we employ over 1,000 nurses, and I think just kind of normal turnover, Tom, is we average about 9% turnover per year on our nursing staff. That's about normal for a hospital. And so we are constantly seeking, and we've had a couple hiring fairs, and we're always trying to get nurses, especially experienced nurses, to come to work at the VA. And so, again, we're doing okay. Where we struggle sometimes, it's particularly true with physicians as well, is in some of our rural sites. And so we're fortunate in the metro where, we have a lot of healthcare providers, and recruitment and retention is usually pretty good. But in some of our rural community-based clinics, we have 13 of them. You know, sometimes it's hard getting healthcare providers there. Again, that's the experience in the private community as well. But you know, on balance, we have a pretty good benefits package for our employees, and we have a good place to work. And so we're always recruiting new doctors and nurses, but we're keeping up reasonably well.
Well, Director, we're now heard on 36 radio stations all over the state, so when we're talking about employment of nurses at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center, or even St. Cloud, you also need a Minneapolis St. Cloud and all those outpatient clinics. So if there's any nurses out there listening, or folks that are finishing up nursing school, all they have to do is get a hold of the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, and you can probably put them to work.
We would be happy to do that, Tom. And again, thank you for your extending that to the nurses and doctors in the communities, because sometimes it's hard in the federal system to sort of get access to the right place to get your job application going and all. But we would welcome doctors and nurses. We train a lot of doctors and nurses here. A lot of the nurses and doctors in the state of Minnesota have some experience at the VA Medical Center. So we're always on the lookout, and we would welcome doctors and nurses interested in working here to give us a call and get going.
Director, thanks for joining us today, and I hope you have a great Christmas holiday.
To you as well, Tom. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. That was Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, VFW Department Commander Joe Mauricio, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Patrick Kelly, the Director of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Commissioner Larry Shelido of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we air our annual Commander's Task Force Christmas show with the AMVETS, DAV, American Legion, and VFW. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.